Do you know what it takes to get your brilliance out there? It can get messy, and it should. I'm Kelly, the founder of Women for One, and I talk to powerful truth tellers and change makers about the experiences that most transform them and help them to make their lives happen on their own terms. So let's dive in to the Messy Brilliance Show. Hi, everyone. It's Kelly with the Messy Brilliance Show, and I am really excited to be speaking with a beautiful woman who has become a friend of mine and is doing great work in the world. Her name is Pamela Horton, and we'll have all her information on the site, but just a little bit of more information about her, and then we're going to dive into some really messy and juicy subjects today. Pamela is an international cultural engagement specialist, which I cannot wait to talk to you, Pamela, about that, and employee engagement speaker and founder of Mavens Connections and the Calling the Real You podcast. So I have been on her podcast. She has incredible interviews on there, so please check her out there. She has an expertise in mindset, well-being, and organizational development, and has helped thousands of employees live happier, healthier, and more successful lives. And she's also a mom and a wife and this incredible woman that's just making change one day at a time in her life and helping others to do that. So welcome, Pamela.
Thanks, Kelly. It's so good to be here. Hi, everyone.
So I'm really excited, and I want to get into first your story a little bit, because at Women for One, you know, and you have submitted a story as well, which I can't wait to talk about how you came to be where you are today in your work and in the world.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a household, unfortunately or fortunately, depending upon your point of view, right? Where my biological father was an alcoholic, a raging one at that. And there was a lot of anger in my home. And I was the youngest child of three children. And by the time I was 5 years old, I experienced the loss of my brother through a car accident at the tender age of 18. He was 18. And by the time I was eight, I experienced three other natural deaths, my biological father and my two grandfathers. And through all of that, I would look out at my family and ask, you know, there's just got to be a better way of communicating and being with people. And this is me as a, you know, knee high. And I always wanted to help people. I always wanted to be as true as possible and as honest as possible. I mean, I can remember a time being in school, third grade, and I was kicking the chair of a boy in front of me who I had a crush on, and a teacher said, and he started to complain, and he wouldn't tell on me, but the teacher said, "Who is bothering Brian?" And me raising my hand to call myself out. And that's something I've always done. And so over the years, I went to become a social worker working with adolescents and becoming an advocate for victims of sexual abuse and ran a multidisciplinary investigation team for both the perpetrators as well as the victims. Wow. And continued my journey into the corporate world when I decided to go back for my organizational development degree, my master's degree, and wanted to just help people breathe a little easier, tap into the resource that they currently are, who they really are, and begin to really thrive and flourish.
I love that. And I like your title. I really want to talk about your title and what it means and what you do with that title, because it's beautiful. International Cultural Engagement Specialist. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Okay, everyone. think about your current employment. Think about your coworkers and your job. When it comes Monday morning, are you skipping down the hallway of your home and pumped up to go to work? Because I'm willing to bet that a good majority of you are not. And the reason why I say that is because a study was done by Gallup that stated that 70% of the workforce here in the United States is disengaged. And what that really means is that they are not showing up to work or really even in their own lives, operating from a peak performance, from a happier state of mind. And so when I go into a company, I help them identify the percentage of disengaged employees and exactly how much that's costing them. And then we customize programs or bring in a proven system called the 5 Cultural Keys of Engagement. And we work with them to elevate the employees, bring joy into the workforce, elevate the employees to have a mindset of prosperity, health, and just overall great teamwork.
That's really cool. So your job is to do the evaluation as well as to help them implement these five keys into the work environment. Is that your role?
Absolutely. It's accountability. We are true accountability partners. We teach the employees how to be accountable partners to themselves and one another. And we recreate the infrastructure that's currently in a company.
And, you know, Pamela, you and I have talked before. We've had several conversations about burnout in general. And I know, you know, there are weeks like this week, I feel a bit burnt out and I'm getting ready to go on a book tour, right? So burnout and overwhelm. And then I have my own tools about how to really come back to balance. And I've experienced it. But I'm wondering, in today's super fast-paced, always multitasking work environments, how do we prevent burnout?
Well, I'm sure everyone has already heard this piece of it, and awareness is the number one key. You have to be willing to acknowledge the fact that you are firing on all cylinders, yet you're missing most of the targets. And you have to also understand and become aware that you are on autopilot. And when you become understand and have that awareness, you can then begin to pay attention to your facial. This is actually, ladies, anyone who's listening to this, if you walk away with anything today, please allow it to be this. When you begin to pay attention to your facial expressions, your body language, and your body posture, these are all beautiful cues as to where your state of mind and what frequency you yourself are vibrating at. When you're aware of these things, that is when you can begin to change them. And your body is a beautiful messenger as to what's going on outside of you as well as inside. And to develop that rapport and that relationship with your body and start asking questions after you acknowledge or recognize what your facial expressions, body language, and posture are doing, what is it that you need to work on? What is it that you can do in that moment? And when you become aware of those things, you can then implement with ease.
Awareness is key. That's for sure. Because yeah. I talk about awareness as well a lot because I know you have to be able to acknowledge it and get aware. And like at WIMF One with our stories, we have to be aware of our stories, look at them from a little bit of a distance, just a small perspective. I think it makes a big difference. In fact, when you were talking about posture, I was like, oh, what am I doing right now? Right? And I sat up. And that's the first key to kind of moving forward into trying to discover what your joy and your passion and your purpose is in life, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And that's why I suggest working with your body versus your mind first, because your mind, your subconscious mind is going to do everything in its power to keep its agenda alive, which is not the real you or your real agenda, the person who came here on the planet to fulfill an actual viable purpose. When you tap into the language that your body is trying to share with you and talk to you through as a medium, you are then able to have an easier time changing those habits and becoming aware first and foremost.
Yeah. And you wrote a piece for Women for One and I loved it, by the way, Pamela. It's me. Everybody needs to read it because I feel like in my life, and I've seen a lot of women in my community, our lives, we feel like life is happening to us instead of us getting an awareness and making a choice to make life happen for ourselves and not becoming a victim to our circumstances. And so you say in there, please be kind to yourself. If you fall off the wagon and revert back to old negative habits, it will happen. Circumstances out of your control will take place and chaos could consume you. The beautiful thing is you have hundreds of thousands of opportunities to make that choice, to choose again and again and again. And I really love this because choice is a huge part of what I talk about when it comes to the difference between mediocrity and a life well lived. And I'd love to hear more thoughts from you about that.
Yeah, you know, it's work, right? If anyone tells you that there's a magic pill that you can take, they're lying. If anyone says to you that there's whatever, an easy, quick fix, that's actually harsh language. I have not found that quick fix. It takes work, and this work is not for the faint of heart. However, having said that, if you are kind to yourself, if you are recognized, what is the reality of what's happening? If you recognize that you do have a choice, you can ground yourself. And, you know, I think in the story, and I don't want to give it away, but I'll share this experience. I used to be an employee, right? I used to work for a company, and there was an individual at the company that, quite frankly, I couldn't stand at the time. This is going back a decade right now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like her, but I didn't know why I didn't like her. Mm-hmm. And when I would go home and meditate and pray about it, what kept coming up was she was reflecting behavior that was prevalent in myself. Mm-hmm. She was a bit showboaty at that time, and I was too at that time. She was a bit braggish. It was just not a great experience for me. And I went back and I began to realize how I was looking at her. And instead of choosing what I was currently doing, I chose to do something differently. And now again, through the awareness. And so I chose to bless her. Mm, repeatedly until I really felt it. And then I blessed myself and the entire situation. And I did that for a couple of weeks. And in 2 weeks' time, she actually went and got another job with another employer.
That's amazing. So that doesn't always happen, but you know, something shifts, you know, for somebody or you in the situation, correct?
Yes. Correct. Yeah. When you mm-hmm. have that choice and you give yourself the gift of choice in every given moment, yes, those things happen. Those little blessings happen.
They really do. It's quite amazing. So you really believe in the power of choice, and I believe in the power. And I wanted to talk to you about this and those baby steps you talked about in here, because I mean, I find that, you know, even like I want to get healthy and I want to be a, you know, size 8, not from a place of vanity, which of course we still all have, but I want to kind of get back to myself, because when I get stressed, I gain weight. And I'm like, I want to be healthy. I want to be balanced, and I want to do it tomorrow. And that sets myself up. I set myself up for failure every time, like a lot of people do. So I'm curious what your thoughts are around baby steps and really rewarding yourself for those.
Yeah. Rewarding. Let me just write that down, because I really want to address that one. Your mind will do everything in its power to make you right. So if you, whatever it is that you are saying to yourself, and again, a great clue to figure out what you're saying to yourself is by paying attention to your body language, et cetera. When you begin to say things like, I choose perfect health, mm-hmm. I choose my perfect weight, I choose a perfect toned body, and in replacing that, using that to replace what is currently in your dialogue, the language that you say to yourself, you will then begin to put not only empower yourself, but recognize that really you can create what it is that you're looking for. And so when you, again, the baby steps is just as simple as paying attention to the body cues, mm-hmm. recognizing what you're saying to yourself, replacing it with the complete direct opposite of what's coming up, and then rewarding by, okay, you know, I don't normally eat sweets right now, but I've actually been on a sweet kick, and it's probably because of Hurricane Irma. You know, there's a lot of traumatic experiences that took place, and right. I eat for comfort too. And so I started to eat, you know, apple pie at night and Oreo cookies. And by the way, I'm vegan. And so, you know, like I've really fallen off the food bandwagon, so to speak. And so, okay, well, I'm not going to have a pie that's the size of 6 inches, but I'll cut a sliver and I'll still have 2 Oreo cookies. And that's my reward. Not that you can, if you want to reward yourself with food or whatever.
Right.
But the idea is just, you have to become your own best friend first before anyone really else can, and really anything really changes. And it starts with the dialogue, and it starts with you being right in your mind.
Mm. Yeah. And I had a question that came up during when you were talking about, yes, you can be right in your mind, but I'm like representing my community now. I hear people say, that's great and everything to make these positive choices and change the wording, but how does that really shift us? Yes, it shifts us in the brain, but are there steps that we can take also that we can see some progress where we're not setting ourselves up for failure? And burnout. Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
Yeah. It does. And I'm still going to be a broken record, because and the reason why is because people, all right, ladies, it takes practice. Mm-hmm. It took you however many years from being born to where you are today to develop a very specific set of habits. And we are one big walking habit. And the only way to change the habits, not only, I shouldn't say that, there are multiple modalities. What I have found that works the most for me, and it can't be any simpler, and again, I apologize for being a broken record, but really I don't, because this works, is by paying attention to what you are currently doing inside your physical meat suit, right? You're the meat suit that you're currently wearing. What are you doing? Are you fidgeting? Are you pacing? Are you tapping your foot up and down? Are you completely, are you frowning? What is it that you are doing? Because your body is a perfect messenger telling you what your state of mind and state of being is and are. And until that is recognized and replaced with a pattern of different, you know, positive thinking, positive psychology, it is the science of neuroscience and changing the neurons and how your brain works requires practice and repetition. That is how we learn as human beings, is through repetition. So to answer your question more succinctly, Kelly, you can begin by placing sticky notes all over where you are at, your bathroom mirror, mm-hmm. your wallet, your console in your car, your phones, your computers, and put statements that you want to actually begin to change or change behaviors in your life. And through that repetition, that is how those behaviors are going to change. After Irma, Kelly, I was a mess. I was completely not grounded. Mm-hmm. Hurricane Irma. I was not grounded. I was all over the place. And I literally had to start standing up, putting my head back, shaking my hair behind my back, and just literally saying, I choose joy. Mm. I choose joy. I choose joy over and over and over again until I actually felt it. And that is what makes the difference. That's what shifts you.
That's beautiful. I'm going to try that, especially when I get aware of when I'm stressed, because, you know, a week ago I was in such a great space, and then you let the days get away from you. So that repetition and practice, you remember it more and it becomes more of a habit as you do it. And then you can stop yourself sooner in, you know, going into subconscious behavior or unconscious behavior, correct?
Absolutely. If you were born in an indigenous tribe, you would have that indigenous tribe's habits. Mm-hmm. You were born in the family that you grew up in, and those habits were developed. And so if you begin to, yes, I'm just going to stop right there, actually. I don't want to get too
deep. Right. So, okay, going back to business, you talk about, you know, a lot of the work you do is about helping businesses create and sustain work environments that actually engage their employees. But for you, what are the most important aspects of the employee engagement? You talked about the 5 cultural keys. Can you give us a little hint about them for employees? In a way?
The 5 cultural keys of engagement or employee engagement are really about connecting. Let me just stick with connecting for this interview here. Connecting with yourself and with your community is so important when you are absolutely vulnerable and present. If you are able to connect on a vulnerable, same level playing field with another human being, and here's an example. One of my clients texted me over the weekend looking for a phone call. She was about to enjoy a conference with her previous friend and colleague who had just been promoted to her being her boss. And her boss shifted in her behavior toward her. Mm-hmm. She was nasty and mean and just wasn't fun to be around any longer. And so my client was a bit stressed, and we went into this conversation and she was looking to disconnect from her. And I said, if you can step out of the experience you're having and look at it from a 30,000 foot view level, treat yourself to not taking it personally. Because 9 out of 10 times, if someone is acting that way, they are insecure. They might be mourning somebody or something. Mm-hmm. Something else is going on in their lives.
Correct. Right.
Exactly. So if you can approach that individual or the situation on a level where you are vulnerably connecting and asking them, are you okay? Something seems off. You seem very frustrated. Is there something that I can do for you? Even if it means giving you space, I'm here to help. And then just be quiet. you will have such a deep level of connection that changes the environment, the dynamic of the relationship, and the dynamic of the workplace itself. And connection is one of the five cultural keys of engagement that is so powerful and empowering at the same time.
And gosh, if you practice that in your work, you know, talk about putting that into place in your family or in your relationships with your spouse or your dear friends or your mother or father. I mean, it's huge.
100%. And as a result, that she actually took the advice, went ahead and did that. And I like blessing everyone, by the way, as if everyone sneezed. So if your frustration's bubbling up, if you feel disconnected, if whatever's going on, just bless everybody as if they sneeze. Bless the person, the situation, and yourself. But she did this. She approached her supervisor and had the conversation. And sure enough, the supervisor was mourning somebody. The funeral is this Friday. Mm. And the situation not only was rectified, but they became closer and mm-hmm. they started to heal. And that rippled out into the environment of the workplace.
That's fabulous. That's a great. So the first one is connect and connecting. Then that's a big one. You got to be able to connect with people. So you have an offer that you want to discuss, Pamela. Can you tell our community about that?
Yes, thank you. I actually invite anyone who's interested in having a consultation with me. I will provide a consultation complimentary 15, 20 minutes for anyone who's looking to deepen their practice and become no longer burnt out from their life or their work. And the second offer that I have, Kelly, is for anyone that's involved in the human resource or human capital role in their company, or if you are a CEO of a company of 30 employees or more and are looking to really cultivate a happy, safe, and productive environment where it increases your profit margins, please connect with me. I would love to be able to figure out the percentage of disengaged employees that you currently have on staff mm-hmm. and exactly what dollar amount it is that you are losing every single year as a result of that in disengagement.
I love that. Yes. And we'll have that information up on how to contact Pamela. But I think also what's so incredible about what you're teaching is it can be applied anywhere. And it feels like these days, you know, many companies and employees are advocating for themselves more, and many companies are striving to offer an environment and businesses that people want to thrive in. I'm noticing that they're getting more aware and more conscious, at least out in Seattle where I am. And it's not quite as traditional. I mean, my son is 22 and he just started at a company, and he can take a break and go play pool sometimes or connect with people and team build. And I don't remember that when I was growing up at the companies I was at. So have you found that to be true?
There are definitely more companies that are taking a look at employee engagement and employee recognition and downtime and recognizing how important that is. And I'll tell you a driving force. I actually don't like the term millennial, but for today's purposes, your son is of that age. My daughter is of that age. She's 20, and they actually want an experience, not necessarily a career. Mm-hmm. They want development, both personal, professional, and I'll even go so far as saying spiritual. Mm-hmm. And because they're up and coming into the workforce more prevalent, companies really do need to shift into that way of thinking.
Yes, they do. And I would agree. I have a lot of children that age and they're all like that. And my employees want an experience. They want an experience and they want to believe in what they're doing a lot more than, hey, I want to just go provide for my family and, you know, live the American dream. It's just not there anymore. The American dream has shifted, which I think is fabulous. And it's more service oriented as well, which I think is great.
You're absolutely right. The share that actually you just drove that back beautifully to connection, because that's where they share the values and the purpose. The individual purpose begins to align with the mission and the purpose of the company, and then creativity just, you know, overflows. It's really a beautiful thing to watch. Right down to even the retention. There's so much great talent out there, so much competition for talent, that recruitment and retention rates are dipping in many companies unless they get this under wraps. And when they do, for example, one of our clients, they increased their retention rate from 55% to 97% in 18 months' time.
Oh my gosh.
Proven system. I mean, it's amazing.
Wow. That's incredible. Yes. And, you know, I'd love to know your secrets as well, because it is challenging being a small business to retain really engaged employees. I mean, I have several, but some of them have come and gone because they just didn't feel as bought in. And I don't have any experience on how to have them buy in except for the passion that I have for what I do. So I think there's a lot of well-intentioned employers out there that could use some great skills, including me, around that subject for sure. So, yeah. So thank you so much for today. We'll have your information up, but how can my community connect with you even more?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm all over social media. My first name is spelled with two L's though. So Pamela Horton, as in Horton Hears a Who. And you can find me on LinkedIn and Facebook, as well as Twitter and even Instagram. At Pam G. Horton are my IDs and tag names. And also please feel free to email me directly at mavensconnections@gmail.com. I really look forward to hearing you and giving you a consultation.
Oh, I hope everybody reads her story as well. Women, this is an incredible story. So please log on, look at her other homepage feature. And Pamela, it has been so incredible to speak with you. I can't wait to talk with you again, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. I love spending time and sharing energy with you, Kelly. And thanks for the opportunity to meet your audience and your community.
Great. Thank you. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.